on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Friday, January 23rd, 2026 edition of Invest Talk. And we've closed another week. It's only the third full week of the year, but a lot has happened. The dollar is rolling over big time. You're seeing gold, silver continue to rally. Geopolitical tensions continue to rise, and you're getting protests on the street. So a lot happening in today's world, and we are here to unpack all of it. I want to hear your questions about whatever is on your mind, money related. Is it a particular sector, a particular company, asset class? Maybe it's a comment of what's happening in the world and where it's headed. Whatever is on your mind, give us a call, 888-99-CHART, is how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics that we'll hit on for the hour. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question now.
Hey, Justin and Luke, it's John from Georgia. I was just wondering what you guys thought about Lululemon. I know it's been falling for a while. I was wondering what a good price point would be to pick it up, or if it's even worth picking up. Thank you for everything.
All right, looking at Lululemon, I don't think I need to explain what they do. One of the largest athleisure names out there, $21 billion market cap. And it was a darling for a while, but growth is slowed and actually has turned negative. 2025 full year earnings. Remember, their fiscal year, I think, is different than most other companies, but their fiscal 2025 was $14.64 in earnings. This fiscal year, 2026, supposed to be $13.04, down 11%, and then down another 4% in the following year. A lot of competition out there, and that has certainly squeezed their profits, their sales, but they're still a very, very profitable business. Free cash flow, $1.1 billion. Return on equity, 40%. Return on invested capital, 29%. All of those are very, very strong numbers. Enterprise valued about $23 billion. So about a 5% free cash flow yield, which that's probably the biggest knock from a valuation standpoint, is that it's not a high yield for kind of a business that is shrinking overall. Now, what are they doing with the cash flow that they are making? They are buying back shares. And that's one thing I really, really like. They're paying that down in a really deliberate way. And overall, I kind of like it for the longer term. Now, technically, it's still in a longer term downtrend, even though it did find a bottom, kind of a triple bottom around 160, rallied recently all the way up to 225. Now it's pulled back into the 190 area. And I still think it's a pretty good value here, even if their business is slowing. You're talking about about $13 in earnings this year and a $191 stock. So, you know, mid to low teens multiple, which, you know, that's okay. But I think it's the quality of the brand that I think is staying power. So this is a name that I would probably deliberately add to slowly over the coming years, because I don't think the brand is going anywhere. And I do think that it's at a good, what we call margin of safety in Warren Buffett terms. You want a margin of safety when you're buying names. And so I think it's there. Now, once again, it's not going to double in a short period of time. I think it needs to find the bottom, find that earnings leveling off. And I think that's all you need. If earnings can level off around here and start to grow once again, then I think there's a good amount of upside back up into potentially the 300 level over the number of years. So I like the profitability. I like the balance sheet. I still like the business, but it's going to be, I think, some time to turn it around. Now we have a lot to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll get to all of it. And my main focus point is about big tech earnings and the profitability test, especially around AI. So we'll look at what to expect as we head into this earnings season. And it's a very important earnings season, especially how these hyperscalers and the companies around them, how they view the current trajectory of CapEx spend, of AI revenue, of the major projects that they have in store, whether they're going to be finished this year, delayed, what new projects are going to be coming on board, et cetera. All that is going to have large ramifications on the market. So we'll dig into that story and much, much more. And that much, much more includes the big, beautiful bill, as President Trump called it. But really, what impact is that going to have in 2026 fiscally? We're in what we call fiscal dominance, where, yeah, you can talk about the Fed all you want, but ultimately they're there to liquefy the treasury market, make sure that it is functioning. And yeah, they'll raise the lower rates. But overall, what's going to matter far more is government spending more? Are they taxing more or less? What happens to the fiscal side of the balance sheet, especially compared to the previous year? Because that's how you calculate GDP growth, earnings, that feeds into earnings growth, et cetera. So we'll dig into what that means in 2026. And then something I wanted to get to yesterday, which is private credit and some data around where some of the big investors are going with their money within that space. So that's what I want to talk about. But more importantly, will always be what you want to talk about. We have voice bank calls. One is on advice for a new graduate in financial management, as well as Graco, G-R-A-C-O, Incorporated. And we also have some questions that came in via the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. Now, it's Friday. We still have things to look into before we wrap up the day, but now we are going into a quick break. And please remember that you can call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk Voice Bank. And if you're listening via the live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Hang on, because I'm going to get today's market activity coming up next.
It's a new year, and you may have decided that it's time to get serious with your investment portfolio. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero of KPP Financial are ready to help. Have you heard about parallel investing? That's where the firm's principals invest their own money in the exact same investment programs at the same price and percentages as their clients. Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients, as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review. The InvestTalk phone lines are open, waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART. The InvestTalk phone lines never close. And now, Justin Klein is here, taking your calls live. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, let's take a look at the market as we wrap up the week. And it was kind of a ho-hum day. The S&P only up 2 points, 0.03%. So pretty much a flat day there. The Dow was down about 58 basis points, then 285 points. And then NASDAQ was up 65 points, up about a quarter of 1%. And that was really the strength in the markets. You had names like NVIDIA up 1.5, Microsoft up 3, Meta up 1.7, Tesla flat, Google down, Broadcom down a little bit, Apple flat as well. But you had some weakness out of areas like finance. You had Capital One down 7.5% on earnings. Goldman Sachs down 3.75 on the day. Healthcare as well. Eli Lilly down 2% on the day. And those are the two areas where there was a lot of red. You also had Intel had a pretty big pullback on earnings, as there's a lot of expectations for business improving, and it improved, but not as much as the market had hoped. And so that had a pretty big drop. But really, the story of the day is gold and silver and the dollar. If I'm really summing it up, the dollar is finally rolling over. And how much of this is the geopolitics that are going on in Davos right now? You have multiple EU countries saying they have or going to sell their treasuries. Other countries who have bought a lot of U.S. assets, especially index funds, tech companies. Swiss National Bank is one of them. You know, are they divesting and moving to overseas assets? You're seeing that as well. Are they moving to gold and silver? Which gold is right near $5,000 an ounce, up 1.3% on the day, a new record high. And silver hit that $100 number that everybody had been talking about. Not a shock. I thought it would consolidate a little longer, but you know, with the geopolitics, it accelerated, even though it was overbought just a few weeks ago and has continued to the upside. WTI was up 2.9%. And it's pretty clear that once again, that what happened in Venezuela, that oil is being taken off the market that was hitting the market. Now it's not. You know, a lot of the companies in Venezuela, they're not sending ships out because they don't want them confiscated, right? And so that's what's happening in the short term, and that's why you're seeing oil prices go up as well. You had what happened with the dollar index was off 0.8%, fresh session lows or near session lows. It posted its worst week since last May. Last May, this is the worst week for the dollar since last May. I don't think it's a coincidence. It's what's happening in Davos. Obviously, a lot of geopolitical infighting, and that is pushing the dollar down. Yields were up 1 to 2 basis points across the curve. Not a huge move, but you continue to see interest rates move up or inch up gradually. So that was the market today as we closed this third full week of 2026. And next week, we have more earnings and we have Fed week. So we'll get some Fed announcement. It's very unlikely they'll change rates, but what do they say about the overall economy, about the path of policy? Jerome Powell only has 3 more meetings, this one and 2 more. So call it effectively 2, because this one's in the bag. They're not going to move rates, but the market could react to hints of the next 2 meetings. And obviously, as I'll get to it a little later, what's going on with tech and earnings will have a large impact on the broader market. Now, let's briefly mention the newest KPP premium newsletter, which will be distributed tomorrow. And this week in the KPP Insights section, we discussed the current market update. In the stock section, we mentioned a chip maker and a tech company. And in the portfolio management section, we touch on fundamental analysis. And if you're interested in learning more, visit us at investtalk.com to subscribe. The newsletter will come to your inbox on Saturdays. Let's keep things rolling and play another listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hi, guys. This is Dennis from the East Coast of Iowa. In an era where robo-investing seems to be going from just automated rebalancing to with AI to full agency AI in the not-so-distant future, what advice would you give to a bright young man who's about to graduate with a degree in financial management and an interest in wealth management? Thank you. We'll look forward to your reply on the podcast. Thanks.
Well, I'm a firm believer that I don't think AI is going to replace investment advice, investment management, because there's always going to be that human nature to fear and greed that goes into investments, right? There's going to be themes that get overcrowded, and then it reverses, those expectations are dashed, and it takes a level of personal experience and data. And I think it will be like a lot of things, it will augment, and it already is. We're doing it right now. We're using AI to augment our investment management and to help us in research to make it faster, go a little deeper, etc. And so if I'm giving advice to somebody just graduating and wants to get into it, is to say, learn AI. And this is everybody who's in a white collar profession, is embrace AI, learn how to speak to it, learn how to get the most out of it. If you can go to an employer and say, here is how I'm using AI, here is how we're making sure that the data it's giving us is correct, here's how we're applying it to our process, and this is going to make the decision-making process faster, more efficient, more accurate, etc., then there's a lot of value there. But like all things, AI is not going to be a problem solver. It's going to in itself. It's going to take a level of humans to say, okay, this part of what they're giving us is good. This part doesn't seem right. So let me double check that. And ultimately use it as a tool for better and improvement. And if they can do that and they can bring that to a firm, then they're going to have a lot of value. So that's the way I would go about building a career within this space. Now we're heading to a break. I'm ready for your calls right now. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, good day there, Justin and Luke. Long time listener to the show here, probably for 15 years or so. Quick question for you gentlemen. I need some exposure to energy. Don't know what would be best. I know a lot of places you say are nuclear and different things, but I'm kind of lost. I found a couple companies that are wondering or building energy, Hewlett Packard, I believe, HPE. And the other one I've kind of found, I believe it's a French company, Schneider Electric. I was wondering if either one of those would be a good play or anything good to buy of those, or if I should keep looking maybe for an ETF like XLE or something. Thank you for your help. Look forward to listening to you on the show. Have a great day.
All right. Well, thank you for your loyalty over the last 15 years. Glad you're getting a lot out of the show and we hear your voice all the time. So appreciate the calls. Now you're looking for energy exposure. The unfortunate thing is the two names that you asked about are certainly not. HPE, Hewlett Packard Enterprises, is a global edge to cloud company. It's in IT, technology, enterprise solutions, etc. This really has nothing to do with energy. Now, Schneider Electric, even though electric's in the name, is not really energy either. This is more of an industrial name. So it has energy management and automation, but you're talking about in regards to AI data centers, cloud infrastructure, modernization of electric grid, etc. So when you think of energy, when I think of the energy sector, that's usually more oil and gas companies. Some people classify uranium. It depends on which index you're talking about or which classification you're talking about. Some call it material. Some call it energy. We call it energy at KPP, anything uranium related. So, you know, that's what you're looking for, those type of names. Now, maybe it's companies that are whose main customer are those E&P companies, right? The Exxons and Chevrons of the world, or maybe smaller E&P companies. So there's the oil service side. That's what I'm talking about there. So there's definitely different categories of energy, but the companies that you spoke of are simply not it. So you really just need to broaden out your search. The sub-industries, like I said, are vast. You can talk about coal. Coal is also another kind of sub-industry. You could also of energy. You could also think of transportation. So pipeline companies are those within the energy space as well. So keep searching because the two you named are certainly not energy. Thanks for the call. Let's go to a voice call. Another one.
Hey, Justin and Luke. Thank you so much for a lovely program. Very educational and very helpful. I do have one stock which I have kept on my watch list. I would like to know your thoughts about. It's FFIV. I would like to know what your take is for entering a position. Thank you so much.
All right, looking at FFIV, this is F5. This is a name that recently topped around $330 or $40 per share. It's come off considerably. And it's down 25% from its 52-week high. That high was back in, let's see, when was that? Back in October. Frankly, a lot of tech names peaked then. And this is a provider of optimization technology for delivery of network-based applications, performance, and network services. So it's in the internet network space, delivery of data, et cetera. And it's a business that historically has grown pretty steadily. So I like that. Growth has slowed, though. Earnings this year is supposed to be down 4%, then bounce back up 8%. If you look at the balance sheet, it has a clean balance sheet, nearly $1 billion in just cash sitting there. Free cash flow around $900 million. So pretty solid 7% or so free cash flow yield. Return on equity right around 21%. So certainly good profitability there. Now, it kind of stopped buying back shares. I would like it to resume that in a major way, but you're not really getting that. But enterprise value to EBITDA going forward based on forward-looking earnings is right around 12, which is not bad. It's not that expensive, but it's also not the cheapest it's been over the last 10 years. Usually it's cheap when it's trading kind of below 10 on that scale. So, and the technicals are poor. You've had that initial sell-off from October until the bottom here in late November. And it's bounced a little bit, but it remains below all the major moving averages. So I just don't see the technicals lining up from a timing perspective. It's not uber cheap. It's clearly in a downtrend. It's a name you should have in your watch list, but I would be much more patient here. Below $200 per share, that's where I would think about picking up F5. FFIV is the symbol. Thanks for the call. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll dig into this story, the silver industrial boom. Gold is getting the big headline attention, but silver is quietly surging due to industrial demand from solar panels and electronics. That story is for Monday, but for now, I'm Justin Klein, and I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
This year, give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started. I've got something you need to check out. Now there's ClickUp. If your day starts with 10, 15, 25, or even 40 open tabs and ends with decision fatigue, because instead of doing your work, you're managing how to manage it. Spreadsheets here, docs there, Slack convos everywhere. It was chaos. But now there's ClickUp. It brings together projects, docs, conversations, everything in one workspace. ClickUp doesn't just support your workflow, it upgrades it with automation, AI, and customization. It's already trusted by over 4 million teams worldwide, and it helps them finish projects 30% faster. Try ClickUp for free and get 15% off all AI add-ons just for signing up at clickup.com/invest. That's clickup.com/invest. Close your tabs and open ClickUp.
Weekend is here or almost here, but you've got finance and investment questions, so step up and call in. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
They spent billions on infrastructure. Did they make any money back? We preview the high stakes earning themes for the tech sector and the current state of play in the AI race. Now, in the fourth quarter, the investment world started to reflect on the animal spirits that brought the market drastically higher from the April lows, really driven by results from AI companies and those around it. But the question as we enter this year is, what does 26 look like? And that's what the market cares about. The market, frankly, doesn't care much about last year anymore. Remember, investing is through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. A lot of people look in the rearview mirror, when in reality, you should be looking straight ahead. And that's what markets tend to do. So what will 2026 look like? Now, first is, the demand for AI CapEx companies will remain strong. Google and Meta, they're betting a lot on AI. And if you look at the charts, you'll know which one's winning. Hint, hint, it's Google. For now. But then the question is, will revenue from AI remain limited? You're talking tens of billions of dollars per year relative to hundreds of millions of dollars of CapEx spend. So will that catch up? Will the applications, will there be killer apps beyond just coding and chatbots? Now, those areas is going to do very well. But the promise was much bigger, that AI was going to be implemented for large companies in a major way and solve all types of problems. But the reality is, a lot of those efforts have fallen on their face, led to a lot of fatigue, and many companies and workers are disappointed as of now. So what will investors be looking for in these earnings headlines and their prognostications of where demand and CapEx spend will be for the year? Now, one thing they'll be looking at are delays. It's a couple types of delays. And probably the most important delay for the economy as a whole will be these data centers. Most of these AI data centers take a couple years to build. And they started in 2024. That means a lot of them will start to come on this year. But like most things, supply chains matter. Most products that have multiple inputs, if you miss one thing, the whole system doesn't work. You're already seeing a shortage of memory. And chips once again. And a good example of this is TSMC. Revenue is up 50% since 2022, but their CapEx is only up 10%. So can they keep up? There's a capacity constraint here. And that's also true for the industrial players. It's not just about chips. Generators, AC units are also very important to the inputs of these data centers. So there are dozens of different inputs, and if any of those are delayed, well, the timeline gets pushed out. And that's just the physical product. What about skilled labor? These are complex systems. They take a lot of engineers, and we don't make as many engineers as we used to, right? These aren't simple projects to put up. It's not like building a house. A lot of technical aspects to it. And then the industrial suppliers that actually put these or build the pieces of the AI data centers, are they expanding their own capacity to gain market share, to improve pricing, etc.? So it'll be a year when many of these construction projects begin to face delays. And will companies talk about it in this earnings announcement? What are they going to do with these chips? If the whole construction project is delayed, well, that means the chips aren't being used. So do they resell them? Do they warehouse them? That'll be something investors will be watching. Now, the other delay is AGI. I always said this was bunk, that many in Silicon Valley were saying AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, would be here in 2027. Now that's being pushed out to 2030 at the earliest. And like most things in tech, it's hyped up early. Growth is extrapolated for many years into the future, when in reality, it's early adopters or early applications that make sense. But, you know, the real work takes a while. And usually growth slows. And that's most likely what you'll see in AI as well. And the big risk always is that these hyperscalers' CapEx will end up being outdated. What if the systems they're building get delayed? And then maybe it's a year, maybe it's 2 years, and now all the NVIDIA chips they bought are out of date. And their use cases are more limited. So really, delays are going to be a big thing for this year. It's just a matter of how widespread are they and how much does it impact the ROI of these projects. Now, does that mean that AI is going away or adoption is going to slow? No. I still think there's going to be a push for implementing AI in many, many verticals. And there are a lot of entrepreneurs that are exploring the application of it in different niches. And so there's a lot of value to be unlocked, but it's going to be harder than people realize. A lot of people just thought, just like with the chatbots, it's you type a couple sentences, you ask it to do something, and then boom, it spits out something great. Well, more and more people are realizing that you have to prompt it. You have to give it the right data. You have to work at it. You have to train it, not in the general sense, but train it on your business or train it on the one vertical you're trying to solve for. And that's going to take work from individual entrepreneurs, business owners, their employees, but also the average user. I talk about this all the time. If you don't understand, it's a new language. You have to learn how to speak to it to get what you want. And I don't think the AI companies have effectively communicated that to the public or to even businesses. Now, the best businesses will be creating a flywheel where AI is not only helping them grow their business, but create more data to feed into AI, and it creates an ecosystem and a flywheel effect. There's going to be those businesses that explode. So the question is, what tech companies are actually doing that, are finding those real world applications, educating the end consumer, and driving real revenue that makes up for massive CapEx spends? Ultimately, I think the story by the end of this year that most people are going to catch on to is that these businesses that used to be wonderful, very high margin, very safe businesses, suddenly become low margin, high CapEx requirements. And in a world that's highly competitive. And there will be winners, but there are going to be some major duds. And I guarantee you it'll be some of the Mag 7 names. But AI will not be a benefit to them. It will be their downfall. So something I'll be watching as we go through earnings season this year, or this quarter. Now, on Fridays, we generally make time to fit in a quick rundown of key benchmark numbers. So let's do that right now. Two-year treasury yield, 3.4%. Last week was at 3.6%. So pretty big drop in the two-year yield. The 10-year was at 4.23%. And that was slightly up from last week at 4.22%. So you can see the long end go up. Gold prices up to $4,987 per ounce, up $399 in 1 week. I'll repeat that again because that is not a typo. $4,987 per ounce. Pretty amazing. I've been bullish on gold and silver for a while. Frankly, it's outpaced my expectations. Not dramatically, but materially. I'll say that. Silver. I'll repeat this one again. $102.97 per ounce. That's a $13.79 increase in 1 week. Pretty astounding. Not a shock, but hey, the trend is your friend. And I've been saying for a number of years, you want more gold. How much? Well, more. How much more? 20, 30% of portfolios? I hope most people listen because it continues to just power higher. And the backdrop, if you listen to yesterday's show as I closed, kind of the drivers of this, they're not changing. I don't see any of those changing in the short to medium term. Maybe long term, but short to medium term, probably not. Oil, $61.33 per barrel. That's a $1.94 increase. As I said earlier, I think what's happening in Venezuela and the geopolitical tensions that are rising, it's actually bullish for oil in the short to medium term. Now, long term, do I think oil is going to break out above 100? No, because I don't think it's really the swing molecule, the swing energy molecule in today's world. That's more natural gas. Obviously, uranium is picking up. Green energy and renewable energies are continue to be relatively cheap and being deployed throughout the world. So oil, I think, is not as important as everybody makes it out to be. But ultimately, it does have still an important input, but just not as important as it used to be. So that's where we are with oil right now. Gasoline prices, $2.86 a gallon. That's up 3 cents from last week. And in Ohio, $2.87 per gallon, $1.34 less than here in California. Now let's pivot back to the InvestDoc Voice Bank for a question that came in earlier.
I wanted to call to get your opinion on Capital One Financial. It is a financial stock, and I was interested in purchasing something in the banking industry. So I'd like your thoughts on Capital One. Thank you.
I'm looking at Capital One Financial. They provide consumer and commercial lending, credit card products, and automobile financing. So this is a name that was on my watch list, and it had earnings. It didn't react very good to earnings, down pretty considerably. I think down about 9% on the day. Earnings expectations for this year and next year continue to ratchet down. But I do like this longer term at some point. I just don't like the recent trends. Obviously, the cap on credit card rates that President Trump is threatening, we'll see if that actually gets through. He's talked about it before. You know, he tends to be a populist type of president, and he tries to push these policies forward. But he also says a lot, and you know, the end results oftentimes doesn't match, right? And or maybe it's done in a different way. For example, drug prices. Well, we're not paying way more than other countries anymore because he just got these drug companies to raise prices on other countries, and now they're more on par. So it's a good example of like, yeah, you fixed that discrepancy, but didn't really lower drug prices. So the question is, with the credit card cap, is there something else replacing it? Maybe, you know, and that's usually what happens here. So ultimately, I don't think that it will be a true 10% cap on credit card rates. And if so, I don't think it's going to last very long because it's very detrimental to the overall economy, because companies like Capital One, JP Morgan, et cetera, they'll just pull lines of credit. That's going to crash consumer spending. It's not going to be good for the overall economy. That's why I don't think it's actually going to go through. So ultimately, I probably would buy this at some point. I do like their acquisition of Discover, and that's what really put it on my radar. I still don't like the trend in earnings, and so or the stock, and so that's why I would probably continue to be patient on it. I wouldn't be aggressive getting into it, even if it remains on my watch list. Now, if it gets down below, if it gets down to 150 in that range, that 217 now, 150 would be my range to pick up Capital One. Now, this is InvestDoc. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday. Let's help you achieve your own version of financial freedom when our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about parallel investing? Parallel investing differentiates KPP Financial because it aligns the interests of KPP principals with those of their clients, as they each share the same risks and potential for success. Learn more anytime at investtalk.com. Just click on Portfolio Review. The InvestTalk phone lines are open, waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART.
Let's run it hot. That's frankly what the Trump administration is trying to do with the overall economy. And we kind of knew this when Doge fell flat on its face and didn't really cut any spending at all. And overall, the current administration is taking unprecedented steps to create a hot economy. And most likely, they'll succeed. Now, there are three main levers that governments have to improve near-term economic growth. Number one is fiscal policy. That's taxes and spending. Then there's monetary policy, interest rates, and Fed balance sheet, etc. And credit policy is how easy is it for banks to lend. Now, historically, they don't work all together. Fiscal policy is typically driven by Congress. But Congress kind of just bows to the president these days. And monetary policy was set by an independent Federal Reserve, but obviously President Trump is trying to exert his influence there as well. And then credit policy is usually about regulators and how they shift their stance towards that industry. Usually the White House doesn't have a lot of say in that. But this year, all three, President Trump is pushing for fiscal, monetary, and credit expansion. And that comes on the heels of a 2025 where fiscal was actually relatively tight, especially if you consider tariffs. Trump's tariffs raised about $200 billion additional. And that's a tax. It was mostly paid by American businesses and households. And ultimately, that is fiscally restrictive. But this year, tariffs are either not going up at all. I mean, maybe they will, right? He's threatened it. But it also could be rolled back by the Supreme Court. So odds are whatever tariff impact there is this year, it's not going to be a higher level of growth, than it was last year. Because it went from 2 to, I think, we're effectively 10%. Now, the tax and spend bill that was passed into law in July produces tax cuts, particularly state and local tax deductions, overtime deductions, or you have favorable treatment of overtime, tips. There's a credit for seniors, et cetera. All this means effective tax rates across the board are mostly going lower. So already, workers are seeing higher take-home pay, and they're going to get a refund when they file their returns, most likely. Overall, that's going to inject about $200 billion into the economy, about 0.5% increase or juicing to the overall growth of the economy. And then there's provisions on investments for accelerated write-offs, things like that, that are going to help CapEx spending. Now, when it comes to credit availability, I've talked before about how you're seeing it. You're seeing banks lend. Year-over-year growth of bank lending is somewhere around 5%. Not crazy high, but certainly not low. And this is mainly because regulators have loosened restrictions. They've loosened capital requirements. They've reduced barriers to mergers and acquisitions. Enforcement of consumer protection laws have been rolled back as well. All of this should incentivize lending. And then there's the Fed. Jerome Powell wants to kind of keep rates at neutral. It's where he thinks they're at now. But obviously, President Trump wants lower rates, and he's going to be pushing for that. So this all lines up why small caps are rallying, why the cyclicals are rallying. Because if you look at it on its face, whether you like it or not, whether you like Trump or not, it's irrelevant. This is the reality on the ground. I'm Justin Klein. Let's take a second to touch on one of the investment enhancement features we offer through KP Financial. It's called parallel investing. In short, parallel investing differentiates KP Financial because it aligns the interests of KP's financial with our clients. And we share the same risk and potential for success. You can learn more at investtalk.com. Please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google, or YouTube. Excuse me. Please be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Enjoy your weekend.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.